Good morning. This morning I want to reflect again about the current crisis, and in particular look at some of the conspiracy theories that are going round. The reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 20 to 22, and it says this: "Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, and hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil." So I'm taking a break from the letter of James this week to comment on some of the things circulating on social media about the coronavirus. Some of these come with well-produced videos and present as very plausible, but are they true? Now, ordinarily, I'm a big fan of conspiracy theories. President Trump seems to see them everywhere, constantly accusing parts of the press of fake news. We celebrate Guy Fawkes on 5th of November every year. Guy Fawkes, along with other Roman Catholic sympathisers, allegedly tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament in 1605. They were all caught and executed. There's no doubt that Fawkes and his friends were Roman Catholic agitators, but it's quite possible that the gunpowder plot was a story completely fabricated to justify getting rid of them. This was an uncertain time in English religious history. The country was officially Protestant, but there were many who wanted to take us back to Rome. We'll probably never know the truth, and arguably it doesn't matter that much anymore. A similar thing happened way back in the New Testament when Jesus was raised from the dead, when the Roman guards reported what they'd actually seen on Easter Sunday morning. The Jewish authorities fed them a different narrative. They told them to say that the disciples had stolen and hidden the body, and that was the story that circulated. The common thread is that power sometimes tries to suppress the truth, and some are saying that this is what is happening at the moment. Of course, conspiracy theories always flourish at times of uncertainty, and this is nothing new. The 14th century bubonic plague that decimated Europe was blamed on the Jews, and then everyone pointed the finger at Germany when Spanish flu took the lives of millions after World War I. Today, almost a third of all Americans think that the coronavirus was developed in a lab, even though the vast majority of scientists say that it has come from bats. David Icke, whose name invariably crops up at times like this, says the virus isn't even real, while others say that the casualties are being deliberately exaggerated. Still others say that the virus has been developed to cull the global population, particularly people from black and minority ethnic backgrounds. And then there is Bill Gates, the computer magnate who is going to fiddle with a vaccine and take control of the world. Even genetically modified crops feature in the list of conspiracy theories. Top of the tree is 5G wireless network technology. Long before the outbreak of the virus, there were concerns about the Chinese company Huawei, who are market leaders with 5G, and whether the Chinese government might be using their expertise as a way of sneaking past Western security systems. More recently, it has been linked by many with the outbreak of the virus. The theory goes something like this: 5G, unlike 3G and 4G, generates powerful radio waves which are dangerous to human health. They damage our immune systems. Some have gone even further and are saying that 5G has actually created the virus. Some people convinced by the arguments that the arrival of 5G and the virus is too much of a coincidence have set fire to mobile phone masts. They see 5G as public enemy number one. This all raises the question, who do you trust? Are the conspiracy theorists right in saying that the virus was created in a research laboratory? Why is it that ventilators do not always work? What is it that we're not being told? Is the mainstream media being instructed to stifle debate? Why is YouTube removing some videos? Obviously, we all have to take a view on these things, but at the heart is that niggling question, who should I believe? Christians have also got in on the act, but of course they take it even further. This is part of a conspiracy, they say, by world leaders to take control of our lives. As COVID-19 brings growing numbers of death, the search for a vaccine becomes of paramount importance. But, they say, when the vaccine comes, it will be infused with a nanochip, which will then make it possible for you to be tracked and your behaviour monitored. Readers of George Orwell's famous novel 1984 will understand the fear that this generates. Truth is an important commodity, and we should not dismiss the voices of those in the minority. They could be onto something. But it's also important to be alive to two things in addition: facts and motives. Start with facts. 5G actually has nowhere near the ionizing radio wave levels that can lower immunity and lead to cancer or DNA mutations. X-rays and gamma rays certainly are dangerous, but independent agencies like Ofcom have confirmed that 5G is nowhere near that level. Iran doesn't even have 5G, but it does have over 100,000 COVID-19 cases. And in any case, the idea that radio waves could create a virus belongs in the world of science fiction. COVID-19 is an identifiable, tangible thing, and radio waves do not create foreign bodies. So the alarmist social media activities really need to go back to school and learn some basic science before they start spreading panic. Secondly, motives. Why do people spread conspiracy theories? Is it always well-meaning? Do you remember Andrew Wakefield, who claimed that the MMR vaccine could lead to children becoming autistic? As a result, lots of parents wouldn't take their children to be vaccinated, which in turn led to a huge rise in measles and mumps. A long investigation ensued. There were fundamental questions about his research methods and serious concerns about his motivation for original research can attract financial rewards and launch careers. In 2010, Wakefield was struck off the medical register by the British Medical Council, although he's still furthering a career in the US. So, what about the COVID-19 vaccine when it comes? I've already come across some Christian leaders telling their followers not to have the vaccine because they're sure that there's a plot to insert a nanochip in with the injection, which will forever thereafter monitor your movements and deprive you of your human right to privacy. Some say the vaccine is the mark of the beast described at the end of Revelation 13. Well, if you're going to be suspicious of this vaccine, what about all the others that we already have? Medical science may make mistakes from time to time and may not have all the answers, but the vast majority of parents very sensibly have their children vaccinated against a range of potential nasties: mumps, measles, rubella, hepatitis A and B, tetanus, chickenpox. You should think long and hard if you're considering not having the COVID-19 vaccine. Because that's the thing about conspiracy theories. In the light of what you're hearing, what are you going to do or what are you not going to do? Based on what I've read so far, I will be in the queue for my vaccination when it comes. Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 5 have a lingering resonance. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. Paul's attempts to spread the good news about Jesus were constantly undermined by those who opposed or twisted what he was saying. The fledgling churches had their fair share of false prophets, and members had to try and work out what was true, similar to our situation. Paul's letters frequently drew them back to the basics. But let me dwell for a few minutes on the mark of the beast. The book of Revelation is at first sight one of the more impenetrable books of the Bible. Its tales of multiple-headed monsters and ominous horsemen, the seven seals, bowls and trumpets, the great prostitute who gets drunk on the blood of God's people. What's that all about? And then there's the beast, whose number is 666. And people are given the mark of the beast. You can probably imagine that for every four theologians, there are five views on what this all means. So it might help to take a step back. What was John's intention in writing the book? Why use such grotesque imagery? Who was or is the beast? The Greek word for revelation is apocalypse. We tend to think that anything apocalyptic must be about the end of the world, but the Greek word means a revelation or unveiling. And the book of Revelation is about so much more than the end of the world. It offers an insight into history and what's going on. Apocalyptic started with the book of Daniel and various other books that never made it into the Old Testament canon. And it's part of a literary genre that was common in Jewish and Christian circles for almost 400 years. Writers would reflect on the political and social events of their day and bring a spiritual perspective to them. John, who wrote Revelation, lived through a period of history in which the Roman Empire endeavoured to control people's thinking and values. So back then, the beast was Rome. In fact, Revelation 13 talks about two related beasts, one from the sea and the other from the earth. One attacks your body, the other messes with your head. The aim was to deceive everyone into thinking that Rome's way was best. For any who resisted, there was the prospect of persecution, imprisonment, and even death. Revelation 13:16 talks about people receiving the mark of the beast on their foreheads or right hands, perhaps a reference to a person's thinking or actions rather than a physical mark. The number 666 has been variously understood. The Trinity of Perfection, 777, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, mimicked by a Trinity of Imperfection, 666, which always falls short and fails. That Trinity in Revelation is the dragon and the two beasts, or as we might interpret them, the devil, the emperor, and his propaganda machine. It does get complicated, but John was simply trying to encourage his fellow Christian brothers and sisters to remain faithful in the face of such powerful and manipulative evil. So beware of any regime that sets itself up as the answer. Hitler's Third Reich brought economic prosperity to some at a terrible cost to others. Yet sadly, the Lutheran Church was blind to the reality for such a long time. Communism promised a brighter future to the oppressed people of Russia, but that future turned out to be even bleaker. Christians are called to test these movements, these ideologies, and only to hold fast to what is good. Some of you probably see the world as getting worse by the day, and a conspiracy theory like the ones we thought about will fit well with such a worldview. Sure enough, there's plenty of evidence to bolster your view that things are getting worse. The huge economic divide between nations, our desecration of the environment, the global trafficking in human lives. Others of you are more optimistic. Here in the UK, we have a free education and free healthcare system. Anti-discrimination laws have been passed to protect women, ethnic minorities and people with disabilities. And of course, we have the vote. So whether you're a pessimist or an optimist, whether you're a premillennialist or a postmillennialist, if you understand what those terms mean, remember that none of us has a monopoly on truth, and we must all tread the fine line between being gullible and between being contemptuous and dismissive. Jesus is the yardstick for what we are to become. In a world of aggressive and competing voices, we are reminded of Peter's words to Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life." The impact of his words, his life, his death and resurrection have endured across the ages. The New Testament is full of those words, and yet these days, the visual is beginning to distract us from the verbal, and we are no longer immersed in the text. So don't forget those words in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil." God bless you all this week, and thank you for listening.